Today on Real Radio.
Do you think for one second he will withhold that prayer from you? Teenager, you're wondering if God's real or not? Open your Bible, get alone, and ask God, speak to me out of it. Do you think he's going to withhold that prayer request? He will speak. You open the Bible as Jesus did on the way to on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. And what was the result of the disciples? Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the Bible? Open the book. Jesus will speak. And you'll never have to be worried about becoming a Laodicean kind of a Christian. A careless Christian. Is that even possible?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. Our mini-series that takes a look at chapters 2 and 3 is called Letters to the Seven Churches. The church at Philadelphia, which we looked at recently, seemed to earn some pretty high marks from the risen Savior. Now, Jesus takes serious issue with the church at Laodicea. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
He is the starter of the creation of God, the originator. And Jesus is telling the church of Laodicea to get with the program and know that he is in control, to refocus on Christ the Savior, not the pastor at Laodicea, or for that matter, the pastor of any church. Verse 15, as we near the end of the age, we need to awaken ourselves back to life. That's the message Jesus is speaking to them. He says, I know your works. This is interesting. I know your works, and because of the construction of it, I know the works, the lack thereof. I know your works. You don't do anything. That you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So Jesus exposes the source of their problem. They had heart trouble. You could care less. That's what Jesus is saying. You claim to be a Christian, but you could care less about the hungry people in Pomona. You could care less that the church is doing this or that. You could care less that the church is offering hay rides in the mountains or this outreach to the beach or this trip somewhere, because you could just care less. You don't care. You don't care that there's people that are on the brink of losing their homes and we're trying to help them with their house payments. You don't care about it. You don't even want to hear stuff like that. Jesus says, you're Laodicean. You're not hot and you're not cold. You're so lukewarm, you don't care nothing about nothing. He says, I know your works. I wish you were cold or hot. Jesus is telling the church at Laodicea, you don't care about anything but your own life, yourself. You're not other-centered, which is the very definition of Christianity. You've left me. And there's people that file in and out of churches all over America, for that matter, all over the world, but I think it's predominant in the Western world. Throughout Europe and here in the West, people just don't care. Jesus indicts them. Luke chapter 24, verse 32, they had lost their hot hearts. Luke 24, 32 says, and they said to one another, that is the disciples on the road to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us while Jesus talked with us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures? Did you see the connection? People, nothing's changed in Luke 24, 32. It's still the same today, church. Listen, I plead with you who are desirous to be a Christian, which I speak to myself. If we open the Bible and ask Jesus to speak to us by the Holy Spirit from the Bible, do you think, church, do you think he'll answer that prayer? Do you think for one second he will withhold that prayer from you? Teenager, you're wondering if God's real or not? Open your Bible, get alone, and ask God, speak to me out of it. Do you think he's going to withhold that prayer request? He will speak. You open the Bible as Jesus did on the way to on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. And what was the result of the disciples? Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the Bible? Open the book. Jesus will speak, and you'll never have to be worried about becoming a Laodicean kind of a Christian. A careless Christian. Is that even possible? A Christian who's grown lazy is a Christian who no longer lives for God. Acts 18:25 says, Apollos had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he was fervent in spirit. The word fervent in spirit in Acts 18:25 means that he was hot, boiling, glowing for God. Isn't that cool? I want to be hot, boiling, and glowing for God. Wouldn't that be fun? So, Pastor, you're scaring me. You're scaring me talking like that. Hey, I'd rather burn out for God than rust out on some shelf. Fervency, James 5:16. The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now watch, oh, well, I'm not a righteous man, so I'm not going to pray. You're righteous because God declares you righteous. I know you and I are sinners and we fail. That's not what James is talking about. He's talking about those who are Christians have been declared righteous by God. So pray, and pray fervently. Pray hot. Isn't that great? The word means boiling, glowing, hot prayers. You ever seen people or hear people, some people pray, Lord, we ask you to help us with our finances because we can't make our payments. People don't pray like that when their finances can't come together. Can you imagine if your child is nigh unto death, laying there in a hospital room? Jesus, what was I praying for? Can you heal my near-death dying child? Is that how you pray? Absolutely not. When you're in a crisis, don't you pray fervently? Isn't it as though you're grabbing onto the robe of Jesus and you're not going to let go? God loves that. Like a good parent, child grabs hold of your neck or hangs onto your clothes. I'm not going to let you go. Oh, parent loves that. God loves that. Fervency. 1 Peter 4:7-8. 1 Peter 4:7-8. But the end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and watch in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love one for another. Hot, boiling, glowing love for each other. That's a church. We need to awaken ourselves back to life. That's done by putting our faith to action. And that was the scourge of the Laodicean church. They had a physical presence, but they had no spiritual propulsion. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for those who are mature believers, who by constant use, that is of the Bible, have trained themselves to distinguish what is good and evil in this world. That means, listen, church, are you guys with me? You're so quiet. Are you here? Anybody? That means we're going to take this Bible study today and we're going to glean out of it what's of the Lord, throw away that which is from Jack. And we're going to take it and put it into practice this week. Mature food, meat, Bible, is for those who exercise the scriptures. That is, you take it and you do it. Be not hearers of the word only, but what? Doers. That's how we grow. That's how we do not become a Laodicean kind of a church. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Here Jesus dramatically draws their attention to a very well-known problem. Their spiritual activity was lukewarm. He says in verse 15, I wish that you were either or neither. I wish you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. You're room temperature. That's a very tragic thing. And so this is the casual approach, church, that they had regarding Jesus Christ. Second point this morning, verses 16 to 17, is this. What kind of a church are we when we take a closer look at what we are? What kind of a church are we when we take a closer look at what we are? Say, what are you saying? Examine ourselves in light of the scripture. This is what Jesus is pleading with us. Church, listen. Look, I may be boring. I may be putting you to sleep. That doesn't change the word of God. Don't raise your hand. But if I were to ask you to raise your hands, if I were to say, how many of you are Christians? And if you were to plop your hands straight up there to the sky, do you understand something? That What we're reading here in the, regarding the Church of Laodicea is not optional reading to the Christian. Everybody understand that? Christians, you get that? It's not optional. Jesus, it's a letter he wrote to you and I, and he's saying, read it. Remember as we started this, these letters are to be written to all the churches, written and read. Though one was written to a church, it was to be read among the churches, remember, and blessed are those who read it and those who hear it. So when we take a closer look at ourselves, what do we see? Verses 16 and 17, so then, Jesus says, because, here comes the diagnosis, you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, verse 17, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I have need of nothing. Do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? Notice this in verses 16 and 17. Because you are, because you say. Wow. Contradictions. Jesus says, this is what you are. You're this way. You say you're like that. I say you're like this. Now, here's what's funny. You and I can argue with God about this. Well, I don't think so. Do you understand that his view of the way that it is frankly the way that it is? He is the Lord. Jesus says, this is the way that it is. I'm telling you that you are absolutely naked, poor, miserable, blind, and all that, but you say that you're wealthy and you're beautiful. Wow. What do we learn from this? That when we take a closer look at ourselves as a church, are we truly a blessing to Jesus Christ? Look at verse 16. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. This is a tragic thing because you know what the word here that is deleted from it, the construction of it, is that Jesus is not saying, there's a few of you who are right on, but most of you are lukewarm. Look what he says. He says categorically as the church, you are absolutely lukewarm. The church is completely poisoned by this lukewarmness. What do they look like, this lukewarmer kind of church? This is convicting. What do they look like? They look like you and me. They look like us. That's what they look like. How do we know? Because we're rich. We've got clothing. We have need of nothing. If God's blessed you, praise the Lord for that. But don't forget God. The Bible says when riches increase, be careful. Don't set your heart upon them. The Bible also says when riches increase, watch out. We forget God. So, what do they look like? What do these lukewarm Laodiceans look like? They look like us on the outside. We could line people up. Little mugshot thing, you know, we're all standing here in the line. All those of you who name the name Christian, step forward. They all step forward. We look fine. Jesus says, I can look inside your heart. I see everything. You look good, but inside it's very bad. A lot of hypocrisy, a lot of make-believe, a lot of pretense. A second thing that we look at in verse 16, when we take a closer look, are we someone who Jesus would want to be around? Are we someone who Jesus would want to fellowship with? Now look, I want to encourage all of you. You may be a prostitute that's wandered in off the street, or you may be a pride-puffed businessman and you think you've got the world by the tail. And both alienated from Christ, you're in deep trouble. Be encouraged with this. From one end of the moral spectrum to the other end of the moral spectrum, we need Jesus Christ, church. And here's the truth of the matter. It is this. That Jesus Christ desires to spend time with and to know each and every one of us from one end of that moral spectrum to the other. Did you know that? That's why when you read the Gospels, they are offensive to legalistic people. Did you know that? Why? Where do you see Jesus hanging out? Who do you see him trafficking with? Anybody? Sinners. Common people. hookers, tax collectors, IRS agents, car salesmen, computer brokers, real estate agents, school teachers, corporate executives, trashmen, housewives, you name it. The only people you don't see, this is scary, the only people you don't see Jesus hanging out with are professional ministers. That's spooky. You might say, well, praise the Lord. Hey! He says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Strongest words by Christ using the Bible. Listen to this. Some of most of your Bible versions use the word vomit. That's pretty strong. It's not even close to what the word means. How many of you have the Old King James Version Bible? That's the Bible Jesus used. It's the right one. Old King James, anybody? I'm a total Old King James fan. I often misquote scriptures a lot because I'm reading out of the New King James, but it's all been stored in my head under the old. I have the old in my head. I have the new open up on my lap. Who's an Old King Jamer around here? Raise your hand. King Jimmy Version, affectionately called. Authorized Version, as it's known. The Authorized Version, you'd have to go back to 1610. And understand Queen's English, because what does your new King, what does your old King James Version say? Say it loud. Come on.
Spew.
Isn't that? Spew. Spew. I'm just gonna spew it out. It's a very gentle word. It's not good. You'd have to go back to 1610 to understand that spew. Ugh. They knew what spew meant. Now it's like, cool, man, spew, what, hey, whatever. No, today, that's why some of your newer translations use the word vomit. It's still mild. If we were a bunch of guys, if this was a guy's Bible study, it would be like this. Jesus would say, I will puke you out of my mouth. I will chuck you out. You make me want to hurl. The word used is to go, oh. When the Laodicean readers got this letter, that's what they, and I will, oh, oh, vomit, puke, spew, hurl, chuck. It's to, the whole construction of it is to bring a gross response. Jesus was trying to provoke them to repentance. I will violently project you out of my mouth is what the word means. You will come flying out of my mouth. Have you ever seen that happen when somebody drinks something normally like too hot? Or like I did a couple weeks ago when I got a cup of orange juice in between services and it was rotten. Oh! That's it. You're not hot, you're not cold. How about this? Want to put in context? How about we go get some hot cocoa and it's cold or lukewarm? There's nothing worse than lukewarm coffee. Laodicean coffee is lukewarm coffee. Some restaurants, they're bent on serving Laodicean coffee. How about this? How do you like lukewarm milk? I'm on a diet, you know that. Lost 16 pounds, praise the Lord. Celebrated last night, had three or four chocolate chip cookies. That was okay, but you know what the best part was the ice cold milk. If it was lukewarm, it'd be, I don't even want the cookies. Right? It was the milk that made the cookies. Don't give me something lukewarm. None of us appreciate that. Jesus says, you make me sick. You're not hot. You're not cold. I can't get therapy from you. I can't get refreshment from you. But because you've taken and mixed Christianity with the world and you're a church that is so politically correct that now you're not theologically correct at all. You are so loved by all men. Beware, Jesus says, when all men speak well of you. For you're no friend of God. Boy, I know. This is going to generate mail. That's great. Read your Bible first, then mail me. Lukewarm. Jesus says, I hate it. They were lukewarm in worship. How does that sound to you? I tell you, if you're a worship lover, I love to worship God. Lukewarm worship's impossible. You know what it looks like? Looks like this. I can only imagine. Why is the ceiling black? I wonder what that's black. It'll be like when I can only imagine. What's on the walls over there? Lukewarm worship makes Jesus sick. Makes him want to puke. Lukewarm Bible reading. And Jesus said unto them, I got to change my oil in my car. I wonder where we should go on vacation this year. Anyway, by now I should be down to about verse 6. Anyway, verse 7. Lukewarm Bible reading. Somebody's in line at the grocery store and says something like, you know what, life is just too hard. God says to you, tell them, go on, open door, whoop, 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 open door, do it, tell them, that's an open door, tell them. It's too bad somebody's not around here to tell them about God. Lukewarm witness, lukewarm. You say, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. When we take a closer look at ourselves, are we seeing ourselves the same way Jesus does? He says to the church at Laodicea, you say that you're rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. Look at the following verse. Because of what you say, he says, I tell you the way that it is, that you're poor, miserable, blind, and you're naked. They were a proud church. They were conceited. And they were a church without Jesus Christ. It's almost hard to believe.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, taking a look at the very last of the seven letters to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, the letter to the church at Laodicea. We'll pick up with more of this study on our next edition of Real Radio. Remember, if you'd like to hear it again, this series is available on CD. It's called Letters to the Seven Churches. And you can visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more, realradioactive.org, or call us at area code 909-393-7100. You know, another main focus of the last book of the Bible is the return of Christ, commonly known as the Second Coming. Well, here to talk more about that and an upcoming event, we've got Pastor Jack and a special friend as well, right here in the studio. Pastor Jack?
Well, thank you, Mike. Yes, that's true. We're very excited about the Prophecy Conference that's going to be coming up at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And we're hoping that all of our Real Radio audience that's in the area would come on out and check out this great line of speakers. And we're very excited to be hosting this event. And so much so that we have in studio with us today, Dr. David Hawking, who's going to be hosting it and heading it up. So, David, maybe you can tell the people a little bit about what's going on.
Well, it's the greatest conference in America. Of course, I'm prejudiced.
Oh, that's great.
And it's got to be the greatest church facility to have it in. Beautiful facility, wonderful hospitality, and you don't want to miss it. I mean, it starts Friday morning at 9 a.m., and it goes through Friday night. The speakers on Friday alone, Ed Heinzen, Randall Price, Jacob Prash, Thomas Ice, yours truly, Chuck Smith, Dave Hunt. Wow, what a day. And after being exhausted with that, on Saturday we get Heinzen, Price, Prash, Ice, myself, and Dave Hunt again. And then to wrap it all up on what is Babylon the Great, Jack, you're going to be doing that. We're excited again about coming to your place. It's going to be a great conference.
Well, David, we're very excited. And I want to encourage all of you again, Real Radio listening audience, we hope that you come, make time to come, and it's going to be a wonderful time. God bless you guys. Thanks for listening.
All right, then. To find out more, call us at 909-393-7100. That's the number here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Area code 909-393-7100. Till next time. We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.